This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guardians taking on the Tigers, starting at 1 o'clock Saturday. 1:08, whatever. Be there 8 minutes early. Ain't gonna hurt you to be there 8 minutes early. And to talk about it, we welcome in Todd Derry from the Derry Brothers Guardians cast, which you can hear right here on the free Odyssey app. Yeah, that's right. They're part of the Odyssey family. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Todd, how the hell are you?
Fantastic. There's no better bit than Ken, the Michigan fan. I love it.
I'm not a Michigan fan, though. Like, Lima has got
a bit, Todd.
Oh, I was in Talmadge for Friday night touchdown, and they were having youth night, and the one coach had their players chanting that I was a Michigan fan. They were chanting on my kids. I swear to you guys, that's the truth. Anyway, on my kids, I swear to you, I'm a little bit nervous now. And it's not like I'm not worried about the Big Bad Tigers or anything. You think about the entire season in its entirety, how great of a season it's been. And now I've gone from, hey, you know, let's give them hell here. We won the Central Division. We're great. Let's give them hell to, boy, you better beat the Tigers. But somebody did point this out to me on social media, Todd. It's like, well, plenty of people picked the Tigers to actually win the division. Maybe we're still the team that doesn't have any pressure. Maybe we're still the team with house money. Which team has house money, Todd?
I think the Tigers do because they're playing so loose. No one expected them to be here. Everyone, you know, it's a big story. I know now people nationally are starting to pick it up, but I would say nationally the Tigers have a real positive, loose vibe. People are rooting for them. So if you want to say that gives them a little pressure, I would say, sure, I agree. But on the other side of it, you hear a lot from, and again, the Twitter echo chamber doesn't speak to how many true Guardians fans are out there, but you hear a lot of, well, really, they haven't done anything deep in the playoffs since 2016. And it's ridiculous to have the mindset of, to me, would you rather be the Pittsburgh Pirates or, you know, one of these other garbage franchises that every year you know you have no chance, or would you rather be competing and getting to the playoffs every year, which I believe that's how I like it. So I think both sides have that pressure. It's just in a different way. I think there's locally more pressure for the Guardians to get to the ALCS again, but I think the pressure nationally is starting to build on the Tigers, if that makes sense.
Yeah. All right, Todd, we know the Tigers, hottest team in baseball. You're going to hear this to death until we finally play this game on Saturday. First of all, the few off days, does it maybe kill some of that momentum, and how nervous should we be about this series?
I absolutely think, well, here, you could look at it two ways. I think it does kill their momentum, the 2 days off, but they probably partied super hard, and now they have 2 days to work on that hangover, be over that hangover. From a how worried am I standpoint, the Tigers, or the unnamed team, as my brother and I like to call them on the Derry Brothers Guardians cast, we look at this team kind of in the same way that a lot of people look at the Guardians. Look at this roster, okay? I would say I am a top-tier baseball fan who knows a lot about the sport, who follows the sport as much as anyone. Brennan Hanafy, Sean Gunther, Brant Hunter, Herder, Will Vest, these are the guys they're bringing out of the bullpen. Ty Madden, their backup catcher, I'd never heard of this guy. I had to look it up. Dylan Dingler, the pride of Massillon, Ohio, by the way. But this roster is a collection of young players who no one knows. So the Guardians are a similar way on a national standpoint, save for Jose Ramirez, obviously, you know, your star player. But do you think a lot of people know who Brian Rocchio is, or who Will Brennan is, or who John Kenzie Noel is, or the big four in the bullpen not named, you know, Class A? Kate Smith's not a household name. Guy's probably the best, most dominant right-handed reliever in the game this season. So I think it's very similar. The teams match up well. I am worried from the standpoint of you're catching the hottest team in baseball in the middle of their hot streak. We can just only hope that this is the end of that hot streak and those 2 days help cool them down.
Todd Derry joining us here. What was the changeover from the Guardians? Because it was like, hey, it's a good team. And then, you know, Shane Bieber got hurt and we went, well, that's the end of that season. And they just continue to go through. Was there a message that was sent? Or is it just, hey, you know what? It's different from last year because we're using every one of these games as a playoff atmosphere. What was it?
I think, honestly, it was the new voice or voices with the coaching staff in that clubhouse. This is Steven Vogt's first rodeo, and he's done a fantastic job. He's going to win Manager of the Year. I think no one talks about Ty Correa and Craig Albernaz, who were added to the staff, who've done an unbelievable job. Brad Goldberg, Pride of Beechwood, Ohio, bullpen coach. These guys, and then you got the steady hand of Carl Willis. I think it's a next man up mentality. It's also, you know, now everyone's talking about, oh, the Tigers are the youngest team in baseball. The Guardians were the youngest team in baseball the majority of the season. So they kind of don't know what they don't know. And, you know, so, and having Austin Hedges back, I know people think it's ridiculous sometimes that this guy is on the roster when he can't hit. But the truth is, you talk to anyone who was on the team the last 3 years, and they will tell you the reason why last season went south was a huge void in that clubhouse, not having that veteran leadership in Austin Hedges. And it's worked out great. And they just kept going. They kept grinding. And I've said this all year long about Steven Vogt. He used this roster masterfully. Terry Francona, God bless him, the best manager in the history of this
organization. Here comes the butt. But?
Oh, no.
But no. I'm not bad-mouthing him. I'm just saying he was very loyal to certain veterans and played guys through the entire time. Tyler Freeman is a great example. My brother's fantasy football team name in our league last year was Tyler Freeman Sundays Only, because Tito would only use him on Sundays. This year, you see with Vogt, these guys are all fresh. Everybody's rotating around. Everybody's getting at bats. These guys aren't rotting on the bench for a week or 10 days and then coming off and going 0-for-4 and then sitting for another 5, 6, 7 days. So I think that Vogt managing that roster the way he did really made them a true team. I don't know if you guys read the Athletic piece that Zach Meisel wrote about the bullpen, but Eric Zabrowski.
Yes.
There was a great quote in there from Eric Zabrowski, left-handed relief pitcher who's a rookie who came up, and he was talking to Hedges, and Hedges is like, listen, teams aren't like this. Teams aren't this close. This is not reality for the rest of your career. You are coming into a situation where it is a close, tight-knit group, and these guys really play for each other and get each other and like each other. It's not like this. And I think that starts at the top with Steven Vogt.
We've got Todd Derry right now on the hotline, getting us amped up for what is going to be a great ALDS showdown against Detroit. Game 3. I'm looking at Game 3. The reason I want to ask you about Game 3 before we've even played the first two games is I'm not sure what the Guardians are going to do with that starting rotation.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And who's going to be out on the mound for Game 3? That's Wednesday. What do you think would be the right move?
You know, Anthony, that's a really good question because I don't think they know what they want to do yet. In my opinion, and again, they haven't even announced the Game 2 starter, but I got to believe it's going to be Matthew Boyd. I think he's earned it. I think he's pitching next to Tanner Bibee, I think he's pitching better than any of those other starters. And I do think it kind of depends on if you're up 2-1 or 2-0, if you're down 2-0, or if it's 1-1. I really think that there are scenarios they're going to play out. If I were the manager and I had to name a Game 3 starter right now, it's a really tough thing. We have no idea about Alex Cobb. It seems like they have a plan for him. I don't know what that is. But the good news about this series, guys, is it's good and it's bad because Detroit has a similar situation going on with their starting rotation. You're going to go with Bivey in Game 1. And then in Game 2, I believe they'll go with Boyd. But since there's off days after Games 1 and Game 2, you are going to be able to, if Bibee doesn't have it, or let's say I think Bibee's the only one of this rotation that you would see go even into the sixth inning. Because I believe if Matthew Boyd in Game 2 gets through the first time through the order, or the first two times through, they're going right to their big four. Or even if you want to say the six pack with my guys, Andrew Walters and Eric Zabrowski. But in Game 3, I could also see a scenario where they say, we're going to let Gavin Williams start and pitch two innings and then go to the pen the rest of the way. They can do this because of the days off in the series. Everyone's going to be fresh. Even at worst case, these guys have to pitch back-to-back one time in this series, Games 3 and 4. Then you have a day off before Game 5 if necessary. But on the other side of it, the Tigers are going to do the same thing, so we'll see.
If the Guardians in Game 1 have, let's say, for instance, a one-run lead going into the eighth inning, do you think Class A comes out there in the eighth?
In Game 1?
In Game 1.
It kind of, Anthony, all depends on the usage of the other guys. Now, if you tell me that Bibee was out in the fourth inning or in the third inning and they had to go early with Heron and Cade Smith and Gattis, then maybe I would say yes for a two-inning save. He only did it once this season, and it was that extra inning game late in the season where he threw 10, I think it was 10 pitches in two innings or 14 pitches in two innings. I don't think that they would do it unless it was absolutely necessary. But I could see it happening if that scenario came up where they had to go to the relievers early. Vogt is not afraid to do this. It just really kind of depends.
Yeah, just Todd, just knowing there's a day in between again, looking at that schedule, and then I'm anticipating we're going to be going up against Skubal in Game 2. So, and if that is the case, it just puts a premium on holding on for dear life in that first game. And I know our bullpen has been great across the board, but we know who he trusts, and this is why. I mean, you have the dominant closer in the game, but someone who is capable of doing two innings. You need that game Absolutely. One. You need to do whatever it takes.
It is a must-win with Skubal going in Game 2. I would agree with you. I'll say this. Whoever's the Tigers, from a starting rotation standpoint, we don't know. According to in talking to my brother, who's very dialed in, he lives there, so he hears all this stuff. AJ Hinch, their manager, who thinks he invented baseball, very arrogant, don't like him. I'm a 10, don't like the Tigers. You can put me in that first hour.
All right.
But he is embracing this pitching chaos. So in Game 1, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if he started Tyler Holton. If you remember, earlier in the year, the Guardians faced Tyler Holton twice. He started two games in the series, or he went back-to-back because he was an opener. I could see them doing that in Game 1 and piecing it through. Or even, no joke, I couldn't believe that he went to this Jackson Job, their former first-round pick. Guy pitched four innings in two games in September, and then he put him out there in a one-run game in the seventh yesterday, which he ended up blowing. Nothing was hard hit, but they could start Jackson Job. They could start Tyler Holton in Game 1, and then you're into a bullpen game. And for the Guardians, from a hitting perspective, they haven't seen most of these guys because the majority of them have come up late. So we didn't see Brendan Hanafy. We didn't see Brant Herter. We didn't, who was the lefty yesterday who got the win for them? Sean Gunther. We didn't see him either. So wouldn't surprise me at all if they did that. But I agree with you, Anthony. When you have your ace on the mound in Game 1 and Tarik Skubal's not on the other side and it's a home game and your crowd is going to be amped, you have got to win that game.
I got another question for you. Mm-hmm. Why we got you on, Todd, to answer these exact mm-hmm. questions. Jose Ramirez, in the playoffs, legacy-wise, what is on the line in this series?
Okay, so if he goes out and does a complete dud and they get swept or something, will people locally say, well, you know, he's been great, but he hasn't done anything since 2016 in the playoffs?
They will.
Maybe. They will.
They will.
Legacy-wise, he's one of the greatest to ever play here. His number's still being retired. He's not going anywhere.
Is he a Hall of Famer already, or does he need a big performance?
I don't know. I mean, it would definitely enhance his legacy. I think who knows what the Hall of Fame? Harold Baines is in the Hall of Fame, right? I mean, it's as Jim Rome used to say, it's not the Hall of Very Good. I could see it.
Rack
Jose
him.
Being a Hall of Famer, sure. So I don't know. But I think locally, does it hurt his legacy if he never does anything deep in the playoffs the rest of his career? Sure.
No. Todd, I'm sorry. Because you made me jump in there. Honestly, I mean, there might be some people who, like, 20 years from now, like, well, what are you doing in the playoffs? I think that I don't know, man. It seems like he's untouchable. It seems like, and rightfully so.
He's untouchable to me.
Yeah. I think we'll love him forever.
I do, too. And here's the other thing. The further removed you get from this stuff, the stuff you start to forget. You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
Jason Kipnis, his last few years here was a total dog. I was all over him. I didn't think he was great. But guess what? I don't remember any of that stuff. I just remember the dirtbag from 2016 and from the years prior. And you know, we love him now. And you know, the further you get removed from these guys, you know, Josh Tomlin, right? I will love Josh Tomlin forever for what he did in 2016. But he was junk a lot of his career too, right? So I think the further you get away from it, who's gonna bash Jose Ramirez, the guy who took $150 million less than his market value to stay in Cleveland his entire career?
I think that's a really good point, and I totally agree with you. Todd, thank you very much for the time. You're welcome for the Vine. All the best.
Anything for you, boys. Have a great one.
Thank you. Listen to the Guardians cast, the Dairy Brothers Guardians cast. It's on the free Odyssey app. They're part of the family. You hear these men at times on 92.3 The Fan, just like you did with Todd just a second ago.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.